A Colombian cardinal has warned fellow Roman Catholic bishops at a Vatican summit that they could be imprisoned for covering up crimes if they don't deal properly with clergy sex abuse cases under a proposed code of conduct. Cardinal Ruben Salazar Gomez denounced bishops for tending to believe priests over the abused and accused the church of buying the silence of survivors with the frequent use of confidentiality agreements.
Actuando de esa manera, manifestamos claramente una mentalidad clerical.
Acting in this way, we clearly manifest a clerical mentality that leads us to misunderstand the institution of the Church and place it above the suffering of the victims and the demands of justice. This mentality accepts the justifications of the perpetrators over the testimony of those affected. It silences the cry of pain of the victimized so as to avoid the public noise that a denunciation before civil authorities or a trial can provide.
He took aim during discussions at the summit of some 200 senior church figures from around the world, called by the Pope and aiming to stop child sexual abuse in the church. But one American legal scholar says the church is still missing a key part of making good on this crisis. Timothy Litton is Distinguished University Professor and Professor of Law at Georgia State University. His book, Holding Bishops Accountable, looks at how lawsuits have helped do just that. We spoke earlier.
The one thing that the church seems resistant to over the course of the last 25 years in this scandal is a really deep dive and an open exploration into the measures that have been taken by bishops to keep all of this abuse concealed, whether it's to keep it from church parishioners or to keep it from justice authorities in the civil justice or criminal justice system. The bishops have lots of responses, but they don't usually include holding themselves accountable for their cover-up of this over the last 25 years. It actually goes back before 25 years, but we began to get aware of the problem 25 years ago, and there's never been a full accounting of what the bishops did to conceal it.
And when you say full accounting, do you mean a full accounting before civil courts is required?
No, it's not clear to me that a lot of the misconduct of the bishops rises to the level of either crimes or civil infractions. In some cases, it may. And in fact, it looks like in a number of indictments in the United States, it has. But a fuller accounting that deals with really putting back the legitimacy of the institution. I think the bishops spend a lot of time trying to figure out how they can regain the trust of the people in themselves. So when a local bishop gets up and says, I'm really sorry about this, I'm trying to regain your trust. Or when the Bishops Council in America puts out a policy paper called Restoring Trust, what they're talking about is restoring trust in the individual bishops who are in power. And I think what they miss is that what people want is a restoration of trust in the institution. I think the bishops need to provide a full accounting at the very least to the Catholic laity, but probably to the world, of what they knew and when they knew it and what they did to conceal those facts.
The Pope has now used the words, I was part of the problem, and he has vowed that the church will never again cover up clergy sex abuse. Are we closer to that full accounting, do you think, that you're describing?
No, I actually think that this is a diversionary tactic in a way. The church since the 1980s, certainly in the United States, has demonstrated a pattern in their reaction to revelations of abuse. It's a three-part pattern, if you will. The first is apology. The bishops come out and they apologize. Now, they sometimes apologize for their wrongdoing, but more often they apologize for what the priest did wrong or what somebody else did wrong. In the United States, there's a lot of apologizing for what Cardinal McCarrick did wrong. The best that we get sometimes is an apology that the collective bishops have failed the people. The second is sympathy, trying to understand victims' pain better or feeling empathy with victims' pain. And the third of these is policy, the idea that they're going to promise that this will never happen again. There will be new safeguards in the church. They're going to institute new policies to take care of the problem. And the one thing missing here in all this sort of apologetics and sympathy and outreach and future promises is a accounting of what it is that the bishops knew, when they knew it was going on, and why it is that they didn't stop it. So it's one thing for the Pope to say, you know, I failed you. But the Pope has to say more about how he failed, why he failed, why it is that this cover-up is still going on. Let's leave the church and sexual abuse aside for a moment, and let's talk about political scandal. If you think back to the Watergate scandal in the United States, which is a very famous cover-up, It was not enough for the American people, in order to restore their faith in government, for the president to, for Richard Nixon to apologize for what he did wrong, to sympathize with the people who he hurt, and for the American government to then say, well, we pledge this will never happen, we'll put new policy in place. All of those things may be important, but the country had to go through a very careful investigation of what it is that Richard Nixon knew about the crimes involved in Watergate, when he knew about them, and what his role was in covering them up. That's what the Mueller investigation is about now. We don't just want to know about Russian meddling or about whether or not we're going to change things in the future or whether anybody's going to apologize. We want to know about what our officials knew and what steps they took to conceal the truth from the American people. And until we have those sorts of explanations and accounting for people's actions who are currently in power, we tend not to have any faith in the institutions that they work in.
So who should do this accounting? Surely not the church itself.
There's really only one group who needs to come clean here at this point, and that's the bishops themselves. Now, of course, I don't want to downplay the importance of apology. I think that's very important to victims. I don't want to downplay the importance of empathy and understanding and a change in the church's general orientation towards sexuality so that it understands what this victimization means for the spiritual and personal growth of people. And I also don't want to undermine the efforts, the very real efforts that Catholic bishops have taken in the United States and in Australia and in England and Ireland and other places to make sure that this is less likely to happen in the future. But those steps alone are not enough to restore faith in the institution until people feel that the people in power who misuse that power have been honest about the ways in which they misuse that power and hurt people. And people may need to leave or resign in order to do that.
And you don't believe this Pope is ready to do this?
The Pope has given no indication that he is interested in uncovering all of the various things that bishops have done to conceal this. Many bishops in the United States have, you know, admitted that they knew about the wrongdoing of various priests or other bishops, but none of them have said, these are the particular steps I took at certain times in order to conceal this from the public. That conversation has not been started, and this current Vatican summit doesn't seem to have that on the agenda at all. What's on the agenda of this Vatican summit, as far as I can tell, is an apology, which has been forthcoming every day, sympathy and a hearing session and a listening session with victims so that they feel the sense of empathy from the bishops, and this talk about educating the bishops, which is important. And finally, a policy of zero tolerance. But nobody has talked about getting down to the question of what it is that the bishops knew, when they knew it, and what they did to conceal it.
Timothy Lytton, thank you very much for speaking with PM.
Thank you, my pleasure.
Timothy Lytton is Distinguished University Professor and Professor of Law at Georgia State University.